right? Grab your Bibles, grab your iPad, your iPod, your phone, whatever it is, and let's make our confessions over the Word of God. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can have what it says I can have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is ready, because I'm about to receive the living Word of God. And it's incorruptible, indestructible, and it is the ever-living seed of the Word of God. And it changes me to be more like God. In Jesus' name, amen. Had to ad-lib a little there. So, I didn't really name this series because I didn't get a name for it, but we've been looking at phrases, revelation of some of the phrases of great patriarchs in the Scriptures. And as we started it off with Caleb, who Moses promised Caleb the Mount of Hebron, and after the number of years that he served, he finally said, "It's time to give me my mountain." We need to know the timing of that. Caleb had to serve the Lord in the meantime, but there's a timing when we have to claim our mountains. Amen? We have to claim the things that God has promised. He's got 7,000 promises in there, and let's keep going. I love it when we looked at Moses, where he said, "Stand and see." Because if you see it, you can have it. If you have a vision for it, you can have it. But if you lose the vision, you lose your sight, it goes away. So Moses was great when he was able to stand and see the salvation of the Lord. He taught those people that. When Joseph was anointing his family to be the patriarchs of Israel, he said, "God will surely come." And I love that phrase too, because we know it is imminent that the second coming of Jesus Christ is going to happen. The church should be shouting amen and hallelujah, because Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back for his church, full of power and full of glory. Hallelujah. And last week we looked at David as he came back from the battle with the Amalekites, and the Amalekites had destroyed him, his home of Ziklag. And I looked where Ziklag was, the southwest of Jerusalem. And anyway, he came back, and the incomplete town, imagine going home to Columbus today, and the town completely burned to the ground, and all the women, all the children were gone, and the men came to town and saw it burnt. And he was so distraught, they even talked about stoning him. That's pretty serious. And anyway, he got a word from the Lord. You know what? Peter got a word from the Lord, and what was it? Come. Step on the water. Come. That was the word he stepped. He walked on the word. He didn't walk on the water. He walked on the word. And David did the same thing, because God told David, "You're going to recover everything. You're going to recover it all." Every one of us here probably has had something that didn't work out in our life, right? Something didn't work out, and there was a lack of some sort. And you know what? God says, believe to recover it all. I'm believing for that. I'm believing for my time to be recovered that I've lost this year with medical conditions. I believe that. I believe that God is going to help me to recover that time. And today is Joshua. And he said, "As for me," everyone say that, "As for me, as for me." I can't make decisions for you. You have to make your own decisions as for me. Joshua had to make a decision of his own as for me of what he was going to do. So we're going to look at this a little bit. Let's go ahead and read Joshua 24, just two verses, verses 14 and 15. Now, I have an emphasis both on the outline and on the over screen of words that are in verses 14 and 15 that are repeated. and I'd like you to count them for me. Are you ready? Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him with sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. Verse 15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, everyone say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. How many times? Thank you very much. So there's a, you know, all the scripture has to do is say something once, and it's important. But when it repeats it seven times, I think there's something we have to kind of stand and pay attention to, right? And so as we think about this, this section, I want to just preface, I've got three areas here. I'm trying to make sure I keep my outline correct here. But I've got three areas I'm going to talk about. I want to just quickly touch on verses 1 through 13. We're not going to read through them because it's fairly long. But what 1 through 13, before these two verses we just read, was an emphasis of God's faithfulness. Come on, somebody say God is faithful. God is faithful. And he always will be faithful. He will never not be faithful. Amen? He will always be faithful. And he was faithful to Israel. The first one was his faithfulness to the patriarchs of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Okay? There are great, great jillion God grandfathers, right? And there are patriarchs. He was faithful to them. He was faithful to allow the children of Israel, even though they were kind of crotchety at times, he allowed them to escape Egypt, right? He gave them that. And he prepared a great place for them. His faithfulness in the wilderness. Come on. How many years were they in the wilderness? 40. What's 40 times 365? 14,600. 14,600 times God fed them 6 days a week and double on the 6 days so they wouldn't have to work on the seventh through the seventh. 14,600 times God laid manna out for them to eat. How many times? 14,600. Tell me God is faithful. Shout it out, God is faithful. There you go. Come on. Sorry, Bill. I get a little wired up. Bill talks about the type of preacher I am. So anyway. And then he was faithful not to leave them in the wilderness, but to take them into the promised land. Come on. The promised land for us is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the planet. That's our promise. And we're going to live with him forever. Hallelujah. So my question to you is, has God been faithful and good to you this year? Yeah. Yeah. And we need to stop and think how good he's been to us and how faithful he's been to us. It's good to, this is really like a New Year sermon, but anyway, it's good for us to stop and just think, God, you've just been stinking good. You know, hallelujah. I'm here because he's been good to me. You're here because he's been good to you. Hallelujah. And he's going to get gooder. Everyone say gooder. All right, make up our own words. All right, now we're going to pause a little bit. We're going to go into some leadership stuff because I love to teach on leadership. And how can you not teach on leadership when you're talking about Joshua? So I got 4 points here. Leadership starts with you because you lead you. Everybody's looking for leaders. Everybody's looking for leadership. But you forget you lead you. When you wake up in the morning, you lead you. When you go by the wayside at noon, you lead you. When you get ready to go to bed at night, everything that happened that day was because you have led you. Leading starts with us, right? Second thing is, we make our choices, and our choices make us. I know I've repeated some of this before, but it's good to be reminded of that. You know, we can make good choices, we can make okay choices, and sometimes we can make some bad choices. Come on, somebody say, ouch. Yeah. Well, if you make a wrong choice, well, repent and move on. That's not difficult, is it? Come on. So, in the coming days and weeks and months, remember that. And serving God is a perpetual process. I love that word perpetual. That means it's always going on. It's always going on. Serving God is perpetual, seven times in those two verses. And then we become who we believe we are. We become who we believe we are. When Bill and Jerry went into the Marines, they pounded in them, "You are a Marine." And they ate and they slept and they drank and they bled and they cried and they did everything because they knew they were a Marine. Now, it's no different for us. We are Christians, and everything revolves around that, right? It's the same thing. We are Christians. We are who we believe we are. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Old King James, New King James, and NIV, all mixed up. I like the way I memorized it. As a person thinks in their heart, so is he. So is he or them, she. I know the people that wrote it got that little problem with too much he's, but it's all this. So when you wake up in the morning, what do you think about yourself? When you eat your lunch at noon, what do you think about yourself? When you're going through a real, real tough time, what do you think about yourself? When you think about some of the promises that God has given to us, what do you think about yourself? That's going to make you or it's going to break you? Right? Yeah. I've got a number of things in my life where I had people who were the opposite of what I thought. Absolutely. And we have to shut those voices out. My best friend in college said, "I never thought you'd ever make it to dental school." Well, you are out of my life. Really? You don't need friends like that. Those are enemies of faith, right? Hallelujah. And to further emphasize that, somebody say, what was your grade point the first semester in undergrad school? 2.1 on a 4 scale. I was a bad boy. But you know what? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I ate and I drank and I believed that I was going to be good. I ate and I drank and I believed that I was going to win gold medals in the Big 8 championships. I ate and I drank and I believed that I was going to be a DDS. I didn't care what the numbers were. 2.1 doesn't get you anywhere, church. 3.9 sometimes doesn't get it, right? So I had to believe that was going to come. I shouldn't beat on my Bible too much. It's kind of old. Anyway, so believe. Yeah, as a person thinks in their heart, so they are. All right, let's go on. Four things that Joshua did to prove his faithfulness to God. Ask for me. Everyone say, ask for me. Ask for me. All right, so it was, he went against the whole group of people that worshiped the golden calf. He chose not to worship the golden calf, right? That's what he did. That's why he was a great leader. Second thing was, he chose to be under before he became over. He followed Moses for 40 years. When am I going to get to do this? When do I get to be the leader? Oh, shut up. You know, shut that. Yeah. No, he didn't do that. He waited. I knew God had a call on me to be a pastor, and I had a pastor that looked at me and said, wait, just wait. There's a waiting period. There's a growing period. And when it happens, it happens. Third thing, Joshua chose to believe God's promise about the promised land. God said, I'm going to take you into a great land. But God, there's Hittites and Jebusites and Amalekites and mosquito bites and all sorts of bites and gigabytes in the promised land. You're supposed to laugh a little bit. But he didn't let that bother him. He continued to believe that he was going to be in that promised land. Hallelujah. Against the overwhelming majority. They came back. The 12 spies went into the promised land. They came back with grapes big as basketballs. They came back. They could hardly carry the fruit back. And the 10 said, no, we can't do it. Wah! Call the ambulance. Wah! We can't do this. We'll never do this. Yeah, Joshua and Caleb said, we are able. We are now well able to go up and take this land. Man, I'm telling you, the voices out there, the voices of disgust, the voices of discouragement, the voices of everything that's against God is there. And he chose not to believe that overwhelming majority. So, what did he do? He took action. He took the realm. He took the anointing. He took the rod of God spiritually and walked out the promise of his leadership, didn't he? He took him into the promised land, and he did it. He chose to act on his faith by leading Israel into the land, the promised land. Hallelujah. What a cool thing. As for me. So, and I've got a little line there that says to take home. So, you know, I challenged the church this morning. What's one thing? Ask God for one little thing this week. One little thing to help you serve him better. That's all. Not a big deal, is it? Can you do that? Can we do that? I haven't gotten mine yet, but it'll come. And just wait for it. God, give me one little thing that I can serve you better. And you know what? If we did that every week for the next year, we'd have 52 things that we'd improve in our life. 52. How many of you would like to be 52% better than you are now? Come on. So just take one little thing. It doesn't have to be a lot. It could just be getting up 10 minutes earlier or something. I don't know. I won't start the list. So let's do that. Let's stand. And everyone say, as for me. As for me. I will serve the Lord with gladness and joy. Father, I just pray, God, that you would release unto us a spirit of servitude, a spirit of serving you, Lord. Lord, how can we better serve you? How can we better serve the kingdom? How can we do that, Lord? Just show us one little thing this week that we can do, Lord, that can make big changes in our life. Lord, we want to thank you for your faithfulness. We want to thank you for who you are for us today. As we worship today, worthy. Over and over we said, worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy are you, Lord. So you're worthy of all this praise. You're worthy of all the good things that you've done in our life. And Lord, you're going to do great, many, many more great things. So Father, we give you praise for that. And I pray for an anointing upon that when we answer the call by saying, as for me. As for me. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted amen. Amen. So go and serve the Lord. Have a great week.